am so privileged to introduce our speaker today. He is an amazing man of God. He has been, such a key pillar to this church. He has been an amazing friend to my husband and to our family. And I was just thinking today, I was texting him last night, and I was looking through my stream of text messages. And there is one thing that I know about the Mosley family is that they are just so good in a crisis. But I'm not good in crisis. They're amazing in crisis. And they just have this ability to step in and help you when you need it the most. And I'm just so thankful to you, Mosleys, because you guys are just amazing people. But I want you to help me welcome our youth pastor, Mr. B. King Mosley, up to the stage. He is going to be giving us a word from the Lord today. And I'm sure it will be funny because he always manages to sprinkle some humor in there.
Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. Well, I'm going to try to get in and get out of your way this morning. So, as Pastor Jen already said, I'm Pastor B. I take great privilege in being the youth pastor, and just they are my heart. And so this morning's message is about encouraging our kids and affirming them. And so bear with me. Because it started well before, but on Mother's Day, Pastor Shana preached the word, and I sat right there and heard it. And all it did was really affirm what God had already placed on my heart to deliver this day. And so out of Mark 1, it will probably be a two-part series. And it will be. And with the title being The Power of Affirmation. And so even though Father's Day is actually next week, and it won't be next week, though. And even though Pastor preached a message about what mothers want, today's message won't be about what fathers really want. But actually, it should be more on the lines of what mothers and fathers should really do more. See, because again, this is about our kids. This is about our children. And I know many of us in this room may or may not be parents. But let's think about who these words can actually benefit. You got nieces, you got nephews. What about the other children in the church, the children in your neighborhood, your friends' kids? So there's somebody that can benefit. So when I say parents, just bear with me. That's just in the wording that I'm using. But there are children that can benefit from these words of yours. And so in Mark 1:9-11, I'm going to use the actual, if you know that, this is the story of Jesus' baptism. Of all places to find affirmation in a child. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up. See, every Sunday service, we hold up our Bibles or our electronic devices, and we say our Bible affirmation, right? But before we go into there, Merriam-Webster's definition of affirmation is validate or confirm. To state positively, to assert something such as a judgment or decree as valid or confirmed. And in my favorite, is to show or express a strong belief in or dedication to something such as an important idea. So when we say our Bible affirmation, I know some of us may say it just because it's the words that are on the screen. We need to start saying it because it's the truth. See, a Bible affirmation is a spoken truth, much more than just words. And so when we do our Bible affirmation, let's say it from that vein, that this is truth. Amen. Because what does it say? It says, I strongly believe that this is my Bible. Right? I strongly believe that it is God speaking to me. Right? I strongly believe that it is who I says it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. And my expression to what I believe now to be the truth is I open my heart today. to hear God speak a word to me that will change my life forever. Amen. See, and when I say that, I expect that because it's what I've affirmed as being truth. So if you're with me, now let's say our Bible affirmation. So let's all stand to our feet and let's say our Bible affirmation together. Y'all ready for the word to change your life?
Yeah.
Amen. On the count of three. One, two, three. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. And as you're standing there, let's go ahead and read our passage of the day, which is Mark 1, 9 through 11. Okay. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You may be seated as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, first and foremost for who you are. We thank you that your presence is already here. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that has been given, Lord God, that has not just been given, but is active and living in us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for just allowing us, Lord God, to come before you, to open our hearts today to hear you speak a word that will change our lives forever. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of affirmation. See, back in our time in Midnight Basketball, Jeff used to have this saying. And those of us, I don't see anybody here, but for those of us that sat on those teachings, he used to have this saying, but that was Jeff. I'm going to Pastor Jeff it for you this morning. He used to say, he didn't say, but like I said, I'm a Pastor Jeff. So just because you were born a male doesn't make you a man. I'm going to say it again. Just because you were born a male doesn't make you a man. And what he was saying was, just because you have male genitalia doesn't make you a man. See, because he was training young boys to become men. And that was the challenge that he had before us. So when we sat in those workshops, it wasn't just to be young men and stay young men, or be young boys and stay young boys. He was growing us to become more, affirming us to become more than what we saw ourselves, to be more than what our parents seen us as, to be more when other people seen us as. It was to become more. And we had every Friday night in these workshops, we would say this Bible, or not the Bible affirmation, but our MBL affirmation. Spoken every Friday. Every Friday, the words we said was, a real man humbles himself under the hands of Almighty God. A real man takes responsibility for himself and his family. A real man is a man that others can depend on. A real man stands up for the truth and what is right. A real man does not give in to peer pressure. A real man knows the difference between making a baby and taking care of one. A real man respects women as humans and not as sex objects. A real man is a responsible, respectable, dependable, godly man. I am a real man. And we said that every Friday before we went on stage, which is the platform of the basketball court. And it just reminded me that even though I may not say that every Friday, I still live this. Because this is my truth. I affirm myself that I truly am a real man. And it caused me to think back, like, wait a minute, am I doing this? Am I doing this? Am I doing this? Yes. I could say yes. I could say yes to it. But can people see this projected from me? Can other people affirm to me that I am a real man based upon this? See, it's not so much what you think, but yes, you got to be confident in yourself and believe in yourself. But what can others say about you? And what words are you affirming the people around you? And so, as I said again, can those words be confirmed that I believe them as truth by the way I live them out in my life? To show or express a strong belief in or dedication to affirm that I am a real man. And at that, that's the power of affirmation. I can go off the stage now. Again, from the story of Jesus' baptism, I'm going to pull out, there's more than, but I'm only pull out two ways of how we could affirm our children. Again, I know not all of us are parents, but again, just take the nuggets and use them. Because these could also be for your future children. So let's let the word show us how. Again, Mark 1, 9 through 11 says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So how do we affirm our children? My two reasons. We affirm them by acknowledging what they do. And we affirm them by what we say. Again, I tell you, we affirm them by acknowledging what they do, and we affirm them by what we say. My first point, acknowledging what our children do. If you ask me, Father God is onto something, why do I say that? Notice that God's response, the heavens parting, the Spirit descending, and him speaking was an immediate response. It was an immediate result to what Jesus had done, which was the baptism. See, in our case, acknowledging what our children do shows up not just when we show up, but also when we're there to support them. See, I believe it expresses beyond words that what they're doing is important to us. And when we're too busy for their activities, it tells them otherwise. See, there used to be a time when being there was enough to let our children know that they're important to us. But those days have come and gone, because how many of us know we can show up physically and be somewhere else? See, too often have parents missed opportunities to affirm their children because they were so stuck on his little 8-inch screen in the palm of their hands, when they could have been affirming their child that's on this vast court or this vast field, something that they've done that's praiseworthy, that's worthy to be cheered, and you missed it. And then we wonder why so many of our young people are so connected with their cellular devices and don't have relationships with other people. Sometimes, even some cases, especially their parents. But that's when it's up to us to encourage them. See, watch this. How many of you have seen this take place? Kid shows up, shows out, let's say in a restaurant. And they're yelling, screaming. And the first response is, get on the phone. The phone becomes the nookie. The phone becomes the bottle. The phone. So we're treating our children like babies all over again. The phone becomes the pacifier. See, acknowledging what our children do is more than giving them a cell phone to calm them down or taking it away as a form of punishment. See, acknowledging what they do through supporting them, because it may cause us to get out of our comfort zone. See, I'm not saying this because I'm just saying it. I'm saying it because I live it. See, my comfort zone, believe it or not, I don't even know if I like people. Like Pastor Alex, I always tell him, people. I don't even know what else to say, but people. People can just get on your nerves. But it gets out of your comfort zone when it goes out to encouraging people. You got to get out of your comfort zone. As much as people annoy you and bother you and all that stuff, man, it's your job as little Christ-like ones to encourage. See, I found this out having two adult children and two younger children, that in all the games I've been to and all the recitals that I've been to, man, why is it that I got to be coached now? I just came to support my child. I'm here to be a fan. I got to be a facilitator, a manager. Now I'm the chauffeur and the roadie. I'm a groupie. I was fine being a cheerleader. I'm fine with that. But it's whatever it takes to show them that I support them. See, like, Bailey is a soccer player, most of y'all know. I even had to become a student of the game because I ain't know nothing about no soccer. Look here, man, I played football, not football. No, I didn't play soccer. However, just in order to get into her space, to get into her world, to get out of my comfort zone, I had to learn the game. Just so that I can help her, just so that I can play goalie so you can kick a ball at me as hard as you can. Even to the point where not only do I become all that, I become a teammate to my oldest child. I'm not talking teammate as far as like wearing the colors and wearing the uniform. I'm talking about teammate. Like Brittany's on the field and I'm her teammate. I'm their goalie. We're playing together on the same team. But again, it's encouraging them and affirming them that what you are doing is important to me, that I would get involved. See, if y'all remember last week, Bev Daly talked about it when she was talking about Kids Club. Do you care enough to get involved and participate by playing with your kids? See? Sometimes it's going to take more than just cheering. Sometimes you got to get into it. And even in our cheering, I find some folks to be quite fascinating when it comes to them and their applause. See, because I'm one of those shouters. My kids know when they do something. Yes! And then, like, when me and Bailey got our thing, That's me. And I'm on the sideline. And of course, from the other dads, and we're getting high fives because we're celebrating. And here's Bailey. Because you know she's about to get paid. See, I got a professional athlete here. She gets paid when she does something. See, we're just casting future. We're casting vision. Where your team's going to be writing you bigger checks. But man, again, it's encouraging what they do, affirming them that what they are doing is special. See, I don't know. It might just be me, but I don't know how, as a child, especially if it's your child, that they can do something and they get the golf clap. I don't understand that. I don't get that. I'm a fan. I know what it's like to be a fan of a team. And we'll elaborate on that later. But like I said, I don't get it. But that's just me personally. But I'm just move on because, that's just me. So again, how do we affirm our children? First, we affirm them by acknowledging what they do. And secondly, we affirm them by what we say. See, in Mark 11, it says, "Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.'" That same passage cross-referenced in Luke 3:22, it also says, "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which says, 'You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased.'" See, "you are" states that he, God himself, is speaking directly to Jesus, saying that "you are my beloved. You are dearly loved." And he goes on to say, "In you I am well pleased." See, our children need to know, they need to be spoken to, that "I'm pleased with you, that you make me proud." They need to be acknowledged, but they need to be acknowledged vocally too. They need to hear it be said to them. How many of us know the encouragement from our parents goes a long way? See, if my parents say I could do something, I believe that I can. There's power in the words, especially spoken from our parents. Because our children need to be affirmed that they are loved. So tell them, "I love you." Our children need to be affirmed that somebody is proud of them. So you tell them, "I'm proud of you." See, and if you ask me, my second oldest, when she was about 3 years old, see, if you tell them that you love them and they ask you for a reason, be prepared to give a reason. Brianna, when I used to tell her "I love you" before she goes to bed, "I love you," and she would, "Why?" "Because you're my child." "Why?" And this was a game that we played over and over and over. And I would have to tell her, "Because you have the prettiest eyes, because you're so beautiful." And I would affirm her and all these things and just serenade her. And the next thing you know, it's, "Okay." And this went on for a good while. But I tell you one thing that did not go away. She may have grown out of it or just affirmed in that she was loved by daddy. But there's one thing that I know about my child. I cannot tell her, "Love you." I have to tell her, "I love you." There is a difference. But the fact that there's a difference in her eyes and what she hears, "Oh, I'll get out of my comfort zone to affirm to you that I love you." Oh, yes. Amen. See, I didn't understand it until she explained it to me, that when you say "love you," it's a passing phrase. But when you say "I love you," you have personalized it. Amen. It is you who loves me. Now, this comes from the same child that doesn't say "bye" when she hangs up the phone. It's just, "I love you." With my wife, it is annoying, but it's, well, that's her. And I asked her about that too. "Why you just hang up the phone?" Because I want the last parting words to be, "I love you. I love you too." And she heard and hangs up. I mean, she hangs up, and before you can say bye, and she doesn't want her last words to be "bye." She wants her last words to be, "I love you. I love you too." But it is what it is. That's my child. Again, cross-referencing this passage, Father God also showed me that we should be our kids' biggest cheerleader. Mm-hmm. See, watch this. Same story, but in Matthew 3:17, it says, God says, "This is my beloved son." So remember, he said, "You are my beloved son. This time around, he says, this is my beloved son. What's the difference here? See, this is making a declaration to or for others to hear. See, folks should know that I'm proud of my child. Folks should know that you are proud of your child. You should have no shame in going off about your child. If that's what it takes for you, that's not telling me a whole lot. But if you're... I'm more like, I'm that parent that's like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. If I see somebody going off like, that's what I'm talking about. Because I'm like that. I am animated when it comes to what my kids do. I mean, it's parents have to be released from the golf clap. See, it's okay. That's my baby! That's my baby. You have been released. Feel free to cheer as loud as you want because your baby has done something special. It is worth celebrating. It's funny. When was it, Jewel? Amarisa's graduate. It was just the other day. And I went to her graduation, and it was funny that The principal had a cool concept. I thought it was fascinating because I had never seen it before. He would, based upon applause and the hoorahs and all that, he would turn the child to get the photo op. When you had kids who didn't get a lot of applause, well, I kind of started a string that I clap for everybody because that's just what I do. So I'm clapping for everybody, and then my brothers catch on like, okay, just clap for everybody. So we had this whole section of just clapping for everybody. The principal kind of got confused, like, we're over here. And you had parents that was like, we're over here. If you're not clapping for your child and you're not praising your child, you shouldn't rely on somebody else to. That's your baby. You should be the loudest one. But what I'm telling us that there are other children that need that affirmation, that need that applause. Why not be us? We're seeing it in the word that this is, I may not know who you are, but I love you. And I'm going to praise for you. I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to clap for you. I've even been so far as to clap for the other team. See, I've been on squads where Bailey's team has just blown folks out. Like, and they do like, they call it skittles, which is basically passing and not to score. And other teams actually, they made a mistake and scored on. And I'm like, all right, they get the golf clapped up. Because I don't want, you know, why are you clapping for them? You know, it's like, but Bailey knows by now. That's just what I do because I encourage all kids. That's just what I do. That's just how I am wired that way. And again, it's up to us to just encourage the kids around us, to affirm to them. Affirm them by acknowledging what they do and affirming them by what we say. And so as I close, I get ready to close, I want to close with another Pastor Jeff story. We're just on the tail end of a Golden State Warriors back-to-back championship. How many Warriors fans we got up in here? Awful. Okay, coming from this gallery over here, I don't want to hear just woo. Because as a fan of 4 years ago, my wife now watches the game as intently as I do. I'm not a Warriors fan. Y'all know that. I'm a Nets fan, and they suck. But y'all know that's my team. Now, the Eagles is my team. I have something to be proud of. Y'all know. Maybe I just quiet because y'all. See, yeah, Niners fan, like, always got to be a Niners fan. Always got to be a Raiders fan up in there. But anyway, y'all know how we can be when it comes to our teams. I mean, we got folks that painting their faces, you know, going out in stark cold, less than 0 degrees with no shirt on. I mean, getting crazy with it. I mean, even in my case, let's bring it back to me, because I know you might think it's about you, but this is about me. So watch this. My kids have witnessed me shout at the top of my lungs, cheer, cry in tears of victory, and tears of agony of defeat. They've seen me go crazy and break stuff and invest my time and hard-earned money cheering on my favorite sports teams because I'm passionate about them and their success. Because their success is our success. I'm part of the team. Y'all know that because I got my jersey on. I'm part of the team. I am Carson Wentz, even though he's over there playing. Reincarnated. But I feel that I am part of the team. And Pastor Jeff used to have this saying. He said, as a fan, what has the team done for you? That's my team, though, Pastor. You can't say that. That's my team. How many free tickets have they gotten you? How many parking fees have they waived? Oh, you get a free chalupa if the Warriors score over 100 points. And that'll be tonight when we go to the game and they score 97. But man, and he challenged us, like, man, we go out as fans. And then we have our children and they get the golf clap. That shouldn't be so. See, I don't know if my wife thinks I'm crazy, but when it comes to, you know, I don't know. When my kids are part of teams, I you know, I go to the games, I got to wear the colors. I color coordinate with my kids, like, oh, they're wearing white socks, so I wear the white socks. Oh, they're wearing red, so I wear red. Because that means they're wearing the red jersey. Or if they're wearing the white, that means I got to wear something white and black, or, you know. So I color coordinate with my kids. You know, even the man cave, it has, like, all my daughter's volleyball shirts on the wall. And I have no intentions of taking them down because I got to add to that. Like, man, I'm proud of my kids that I don't want to take them down. You know, and instead of having, like, uniforms of other players and stuff, my kids, I am my kids' biggest fan. And what they do, regardless of whether they go pro or not, what they've done in that season that I was able to watch them, this is their alumni. This is their Hall of Fame. This is what it's going to be about because I'm proud of them. And it's much more than just me saying it. They can go in there and be like, man, you still got that jersey up? Yeah, it's yours. I'm that dad that buys the gear. And Brittany played for Gunderson. And they're the Grizzlies. And I had this shirt that had, you know, it had the Gunderson basketball and had the big paw print. But what I do, I buy the shirt and I go get it itched and it has Papa Bear on it. And every game I wear it, because that's my baby. That's my team. I'm a fan. But let's put this into perspective. Again, there is no way we should be as vested as we are in a professional team and can't show our kids that same joy and excitement. See, it should take more than that. See, if we can go all out for our teams, we should go all out for our kids. See, we have this one parent, part of Bailey soccer team. He's one of them real soccer fans. He's the one that has the drum. He's the one that has the horns. He has the cowbell. Like, he is, like, there. Like, he is all that. But again, it encourages the team. It fires the team up. They hear the drums. It gets them going. It gets them fired up. He gets the chance. Go, Bailey. Go, Ellie. Go ahead. You know, he chants and gets them fired up. He even has chants. Nobody knows what they say, what he's saying, because nobody speaks the language. But all we're just ready for the park. Hey, hey, hey. You know? We're just waiting for it. But again, it's affirming them that what they are doing is important to us. It's important to us. And again, if I can go out and paint my face for my team, which I don't, close enough. I'm gonna show up to Bailey's game with my face painted. Show up to Brielle's swim practice with no shirt on. Yeah, that's creepy. Again. So as I close, what I want you to do with this message, again, I know not all of us are parents, but I know all of us know kids that needs this, that needs to be affirmed that they are special. They need to be affirmed that they are loved, that they're cared for. And we have this opportunity with the word that we just received of all things coming from Jesus' baptism, that somebody is proud of them, that somebody loves them. Let that somebody be us. Amen. Thank you.
Wow, thank you, Pastor B. That was really good. I just want to affirm Pastor B, because I want to let you know, I work with teenagers. I have a privilege to work with teenagers, and I will tell you, this is the number one thing that our young people are needing right now. They need encouragement. They need affirmation. You know, my students are so addicted to Instagram and Snapchat and everything, and it's always like, how many likes did you get? How many likes did you get? Because there's this affirmation and feeling like people like what I've done, or they liked what I posted, so they're getting this affirmation, and they're so hungry for it. So I really want you to take this word to heart. Is encourage the young people around you. They need it. They're so thirsty for it. They're like little dried up sponges, and the more encouragement you pour on them, the more they begin to grow and blossom. And it's amazing to watch. So I want to encourage you, thank you for that word. It is from the Lord. Thank you for that. And thank you for living it. Because one thing I will tell you about Pastor B, he doesn't just do that for his kids, he does it for everybody's kids. He comes to my son's baseball games, and he don't even like baseball. And he'll come and cheer. He came to my son's graduation, and I told him like the day before, because I forgot, and he was there cheering just as loud as I was. He just does that, and he doesn't just do it for my kids, he does it for all of our kids. And I think we need to help in that responsibility by taking up that in that same vein and encouraging our kids. Because I promise you, if you don't do it, they're going to find encouragement from someone else. And it's not always going to be positive. So be thank you for that word. And the other thing I want to say before we close today is that some of you are thinking, I didn't get that encouragement as a child. Nobody encouraged me. And I'm going to say something harsh. So what? Encourage someone else. I understand that. I didn't get that either as a kid. It's not, no one poured encouragement into me as a teenager, but I make it my goal that every student I come across, they are going to feel loved, they are going to feel encouraged, they are going to know they are a child of God, they are going to know somebody is cheering for them. And the more I do it, the more fulfilled I get. So I want to encourage you, take these words to heart. And for some of you, if you're saying, I don't know how to do that, ask the Holy Spirit. It's easy. Just say good job. Just say high five. Give somebody a hug. It's so simple. Amen? Amen? All right, so stand to your feet. On your way out today, I want you to practice affirming Pastor B. So tell him what a good job he did today on your way out before you leave. Today we do have our prayer team up here, so if you want prayer today, prayer team, come on up. Please make sure before you leave today you get prayer. Crystal, can you come on up too? If you need healing in your body, please come up here. If you need a miracle, if you need financial breakthrough, whatever it may be, please make sure that you see one of these people up here today. They will pray for you and give you whatever the Lord tells them for you. You can, yes, Verbi King, yes, you can give him encouragement. She's ready. Amen. Let me pray for you as I dismiss you. God, I thank you, Lord, for the word that was in the house today, Lord. I pray for each person in this room. Lord, I pray that you would pour your love on them today. I pray, Lord, that as you tell them how much you love them, they could then pour out that love into other people, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would bless them as they go about their week today. Help them to have an attitude of encouragement as they go about their day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, make sure if you need prayer, get prayer, or see Pastor B on your way out.